It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
We have a loaded guest list for you today. Things are starting to pick up inside the New Orleans Convention Center as we welcome you in across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, as always, hopefully, streaming on YouTube. Kayvon Thibodeau and Bobby Okereke will stop by today from the New York Football Giants. Tom Pelissero will join us from the NFL Network. We will also be joined by Dominic Easley as well, former Patriots defensive tackle, and then Paige Baronic, who a lot of people know on social media, is going to join us later on in the program. But I did go to the zoo. That was
live
opening night
from the place
last
yet not overly ostentatious
they have
studios of the New Orleans Convention Center. This is day
and
number two of the Zach Gelb Show,
Super
live in NOLA
and
for Radio
myself,
Row, Super Bowl 59,
no
getting us
around
set
this Super
for
Bowl.
The big game
now,
between the Kansas City Chiefs
Super
and
Bowl.
Also
I
the Philadelphia Eagles. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227.
We all know the good game that these two teams gave us.
Instagram, where I'm straight flexing,
2 years ago,
we go back to Super Bowl 57, with Jalen Hurts being the best player in the game, Patrick Mahomes getting another Super Bowl championship at that time, his second of his career, which has started this back-to-back run and is trying to culminate here with a three-peat. And you look around at the storylines for the game, and I just didn't feel your typical Super Bowl opening night type of buzz. And I'm sure it's going to pick up as the week does go on, and ultimately I just care if we get a good game, and I do believe that we're going to have a good game, but I'm just trying to think of the storylines here. You know, maybe it is Chiefs fatigue, but I feel disingenuous saying, oh, Chiefs fatigue, because we're going through something that is greatness right now. We're going through something that is unprecedented, potentially in the Super Bowl era, of seeing a team win back-to-back-to-back Lombardi trophies. So this idea that it's boring right now on what was a Monday and now is a Tuesday, it doesn't seem right to me. But I go through the storylines and the ideas and what the storytelling of this game is going to be. And for the Chiefs, it's obviously the legacies of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I don't think nationally the legacy of Andy Reid is really this big national storyline. In terms of Mahomes, it's a big one because you're going to have all these GOAT debates with him and Tom Brady. I would say that the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift storyline, yes, if you go on Instagram, if you're even allowed on TikTok anymore and you go on there, I'm imagining it has not run its course. But I think in the NFL world, okay, Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce every time the Chiefs score a touchdown or he does something positive in the game, that the cameras are going to show Travis Kelce and they're going to show Taylor Swift celebrating what her man's is doing on the football field. On the other side, for the Eagles are a great team. I think the Eagles are better than the Kansas City Chiefs from 1 to 53, but you have this aura of the Chiefs with Mahomes and with Reed and with Kelce and with Spagnuolo and with Chris Jones, where, yes, you could be the better team on paper. You could be the better team 1 through 53, and we've talked about this, right? Oh, the Chiefs are vulnerable. Are they really vulnerable? Because Kansas City, they lost pretty much one game this year. And on the last game of the season against the Denver Broncos, probably easier for me to tell you who was playing rather than who wasn't playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. So this vulnerability idea with the Chiefs, I get it because they're not blowing teams out. They're not scoring 50 points a game. The offense hasn't been as sexy as what it was a few years ago, but you still have Mahomes, who's a killer. You still have Kelsey, who's a killer. And you still have a team that I would say their biggest flaw, and when I look to start to break down this game, the biggest thing that concerned me about Kansas City is just the offensive line. Like, Tooney's a heck of a player. You know, Creed Humphrey's a heck of a player, but everybody else, is that going to be enough going up against Jalen Carter? Brandon Graham, who, by the way, I talked to Brandon last night. If Brandon Graham, he didn't tell me this, and I tried to press him. I said, come on, BG, it's just me and you. Give me the answer. Like, you come on the show all the time. Just let us know if you're going to play in the game or not. And he would not budge on that. But since he's on a podium last night and he's talking to the media, and I asked him, I said, hey, you made the biggest play in Super Bowl history for the Eagles and the biggest play in their franchise history. Who's the defensive player you think makes the biggest play on Sunday? And it's Zach Bond. And you look at this Eagles team, they are a great team. But in terms of the national landscape, like, who are your national names? Saquon Barkley. Jalen Hurts is a big name, right, with what he did at Oklahoma and Alabama and what he's done in the NFL. But that's not a name that really pops nationally. Like, Jalen Hurts is a really good quarterback. No one's looking at him as he's an elite quarterback in this league. A.J. Brown, right, you had the stuff of the inner excellence in that book. That was funny. But A.J. Brown is great of a wide receiver he's in. He doesn't resonate nationally like the way Justin Jefferson does or the way that the Cheetah in Tyreek Hill does. And on the defensive side of the ball, the Eagles have a phenomenal defense. And Vic Fangio is a good defensive coordinator, but he's not Steve Spagnuolo. And yes, the Eagles have big names on the defensive side of the ball, but are they big, big names? Like, Jalen Carter is a heck of a player. Jalen Carter could be one of the better defensive players in the league. Nationally, I don't know how much he resonates. You know, Darius Big Play Slade doesn't resonate nationally. Quinyon Mitchell is a phenomenal player, rookie, but, you know, it's his first year in the league. Zach Bond, no one even knew who he was a year ago, and now Zach Bond is a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year. So you look at it from a marketing standpoint with the Super Bowl. Last year was the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, right, Super Bowl. The last time these two teams played, it was the Kelce Bowl with Jason Kelce and with Travis Kelce and with Ed and Donna Kelce, right? It was all about the Kelce family. But you go into this one, and there's not a lot of pomp and circumstances around this game outside of the fact that I think we're going to see a superb matchup coming up on Sunday. But in terms of the marketing of this one and in terms of the storylines on this one, you know, if you had to encapsulate it with the Eagles, it's Saquon Barkley, right? And then Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni trying to shut everybody up. But is that something that on the national landscape, people are like, oh my God, when you think of this Super Bowl right away, it's, all right, if Nick Sirianni wins, he's going to tell people to shut the bleep up, and same with Jalen Hurts, because Jalen Hurts isn't the biggest personality guy in the world. You know, I've talked to him when when he punched a ticket to the NFC Championship game a few years ago, and you would have thought it was a regular season victory, for crying out loud. And on the other side, the Chiefs story, it's funny because people try to portray the Chiefs as a villain. The Chiefs aren't a villain yet. You may be tired with the Chiefs, but the Chiefs really aren't this national villain. Like, okay, you may not love Patrick Mahomes' wife, and even that's died down a bit, and his brother, right? You can't stand him. The father's a pain in the ass. We know that. But there's no reason to really hate Patrick Mahomes. And Travis Kelce, do people really hate Travis Kelce? And he's a fun superstar. He's one of the greatest tight ends of all time. And Andy Reid was once the coach that couldn't get the job done in the big game, and now all he does is get the job done in the big game. So I don't think there is a polarizing factor in this Super Bowl. And even if you're somebody, oh, I can't stand seeing Taylor Swift on the TV set, it's not as if that's really on your mind when you're watching the game, even though they're going to just show you her over and over again during the game. So from a polarizing standpoint, this is not a polarizing Super Bowl. And there is no hated team. Sure, some of you may not like the Eagles fans. Some of you may be tired with the Kansas City Chiefs. But when you put your head on the pillow at night, do they really own real estate in your head? Are you really that livid about either Kansas City or the Philadelphia Eagles? I don't see it. So I think that plays a factor into it And Kansas City, so much of their story has been told, and all that's adding on from here is just icing on top of the cake when it comes to them entering different levels in the annals of NFL history. And for Philadelphia, yeah, it's the job not done yet. It is something along the lines of, hey, they were here 2 years ago. They outplayed the Eagles for three quarters. They didn't get the job done in the fourth quarter. But are the Eagles going to be the team that takes down Kansas City when they matter, when it matters? Or are they going to join the list of, even when the Bengals did it right, they didn't win a Super Bowl. And then after that, they haven't been the same team since. The Baltimore Ravens have been a group where they've been close, but yet so far. Buffalo, four postseason losses to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they could beat them all the time in the regular season because they won four straight in the regular season. And you look at the San Francisco 49ers. It is, hey, the San Francisco 49ers were up 10 twice in a Super Bowl, you know, two different times, and they couldn't get the job done up against the Philadelphia, up against the Kansas City Chiefs. So I look at the Eagles in this one and the Kansas City Chiefs in this one from a national standpoint, and then also pop for a huge Super Bowl, which I think is going to be a good game. So then it will be remembered in a positive way. But the buildup to this week, I'm ready for the game to play. I'm ready for the game to be played tomorrow. Quite frankly, I think it's a bunch of nonsense that they take the week off. And I get why they do it. They want the buildup and all that stuff. But in a year like this, there's not a lot of buildup because so much of this Kansas City Chiefs story has already been told. And for the Eagles, there's not one storyline that really pops nationally outside of Saquon Barkley. Like, outside of Saquon Barkley to me, and also how much does a running back, even though he is an MVP candidate, he'll probably finish third for the award, right? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson will be 1-2, and then Saquon will be 3. But when you look at the faces of the league, it's usually quarterbacks. And you got two, you know, one great quarterback and another one who's trying to prove everyone else that he can be great. But from a marketing standpoint, it's not as if Jalen Hurts is the most marketable name in the league. He's not a big personality guy. You know, I made a joke yesterday. We're sitting at Radio Row. The two players that they put up to market the Eagles are Jalen Hurts, fine, he's the quarterback. And then it's Josh Sweat. Like, Josh Sweat's a really good player. But if Josh Sweat was walking down the streets here of New Orleans, are most people recognizing him? Probably not. But you know what has become a big storyline? And I thought this was interesting at media night and then also on the commissioner's press conference. How much the Chiefs, right, who have heard it all at this point and who they have been told, oh, it's rigged, oh, you're the villain, oh, you're the big bad bully, how much this has served as some motivation? Because sometimes, right, you have players say, ignore the noise, you know, tune it out, and it's a bunch of robot answers and players speak. Well, this is Travis Kelce last night at media night. He went out of his way to bring up the referees. Like, this wasn't, hey, Travis, what do you think about the referees? The question was something along the lines of, Travis, if you could ask the media one question, what would the question be? And this is how Travis Kelce responded.
If I could ask the media one question, why are you guys leaning into this whole ref thing? You know what I mean? Like, why are you guys leaning into it? That's all I got, though.
So he's going after the media for the whole referee thing. And I will say this about the refs. Do I think the league is rigging the games? No. Do I think the league is getting in the ears of the official, hey, let's make sure that we get Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Taylor Swift in the Super Bowl? No. And they're not upset, I would imagine, that the Chiefs are here. But there are some bad officiating calls. And a lot of them go in Kansas City's favor. Now, do I think that the officiating is the reason why the Chiefs are here? Do I think the officiating is why the Chiefs beat the Texans? No. Did I not like the spot on the 4th-and-1? I didn't. Did I not like the idea of Xavier Worthy, right, when the ball hits the ground, that getting called a good catch? No, I didn't. But the Chiefs didn't get to the Super Bowl because of the officiating. And I could be, two things could be true. I could think the officials do a bad job. And I could also acknowledge that the officials aren't making calls to put the Chiefs at an advantage. But I hope that's something we're not talking about on Monday. I hope we're not sitting here on Monday saying, oh, the Chiefs, all right, they won a Super Bowl because this call or because that call. But the Chiefs, this has really annoyed them. And they have showed it, and I don't think it plays an impact in the game in terms of Kansas City, right? Is this going to impact them mentally in the game? No, I don't. I think that's a bunch of jackassery. But this idea that the Chiefs are going out of their way, whether it's Mahomes, Kelce, or, hey, we even talked about it with a guy that I like in Drew Tranquil when he joined us on the show, this idea that the officiating and the Chiefs are just so tired of the conversation. It's like, who gives a rat's ass? If I was a player in the Kansas City Chiefs, welcome to the big boy world, right? Welcome to the Patriots. Welcome to the Cowboys. Welcome to the Steelers. When you keep on winning and winning and winning and winning, people just hate you because they want to see something else. But I still don't think that level of hate was where it was nationally when the Cowboys had their time to shine, when the Steelers had their time to shine, and when the Patriots had their time to shine as well. So this storylines for the Super Bowl, I think a lot of them have been played out, and I don't think a lot of them are popping nationally. Like, I'll tell you what I think from a coverage standpoint, for me, is the biggest storyline in this game. And it's Mahomes adding to his legacy, right? When you have Brady calling the game, Brady, that's who he's chasing. He's trying to be the greatest quarterback of all time. We've discussed this, right? Brady to me is number one. Right now, Joe Montana's two. Patrick Mahomes is right there at three, and then Peyton Manning is four. Those are the four best quarterbacks, in my opinion, in NFL history. And I've said this before, if Mahomes wins on Sunday, I think he moves past Montana. I think you have Brady one, Montana, Mahomes two, Montana three, and then Peyton Manning four. That's what I think it would be if the Chiefs do win. But also, even though I think that's the biggest storyline, I don't think that generates, even in a GOAT kind of era, and everyone's talking about GOAT this, GOAT that, and sometimes the conversations make me just want to puke, if I'm being honest, because everyone's the GOAT now. But there's still so much of the story to be written about Patrick Mahomes that even those GOAT conversations do feel premature, even though for his legacy and for the history and the impact of the game, he has had an unbelievable impact to the NFL so far. Stu, what's your biggest storyline heading into this Super Bowl? If I say it's Mahomes' legacy for me, that's what stands out the most. What is it for you?
I think it's Kelce's future, and I think it's twofold. I think it's his future on the field and off the field. I think especially on the field. Could this be his last game? What impact will he have? I think it's kind of surrounding Kelce after Mahomes, if you ask me.
Okay, and I would have thought that there's a chance that if Kelce, when I got here, I thought there was a chance when I was flying on out here that Kelce could have retired after the game. But then you hear this last night, Travis Kelce on his NFL future. Listen up.
Where will I be in 3 years? Oh, man, I don't know. Hopefully still playing football. I love doing this. I love coming into work every day. And, you know, I feel like I still got a lot of good football left in me. But we'll see what happens. I know I've been setting myself up for other opportunities in my life, and that's always been the goal, knowing that football only lasts for so long. You got to find a way to get into another career, into another, you know, profession. And I've been doing that in my off seasons. But for the most part, I plan on being a Kansas City Chief and playing football.
So that doesn't sound like a guy that he's retiring after this game. Now, I'm not saying he's going to play for three more years. And could he be wanting to avoid that? So you just say, oh, you'll play and then you'll figure it out at the end of the season. Yeah, anything's possible, right? I'm not saying that I expect him to be rather, you know, 100% truthful. But in that case, I do believe Kelce that he's going to be back next year with the Kansas City Chiefs. Samter, what do you got cooking for us? So Kelce off the board, Mahomes' legacy off the board. What do you think the biggest storyline is for this game?
See, I want to say the Chiefs three-peat. Recently, we had talks about whether Pat Riley,
yeah,
who owns the trademark,
I saw that today,
would allow them to use three-peat. Apparently, they came to a deal that they would use the word three-peat if they won it. I still think Chief-peat is the way to go. But there's so much stuff on the Chiefs side. We've seen them here so many times, and kind of like the Patriots, kind of like the Warriors and the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
After a while, there's only so many things you can say about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and legacy of Patrick Mahomes.
With
and
also
the Chiefs.
Just without sounding jealous. Like, you hate them so much, eventually you just got to respect what they do. If
yeah,
just being
for
fair.
Sure. But, I mean, we've been talking about these guys for 3 years. We've been talking about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for 2 years. The thing that's fresh to me is the Eagles. Saquon Barkley is fresh. Jalen Hurts is fresh. This Eagles team is fresh. And what they've gone through between the NFC Championship 3 years ago, the collapse last year, yeah, and then what's going on now, I honestly think that people have Chiefs fatigue. The storyline for me is the Eagles. The storyline for me is Jalen Hurts a Super Bowl champion quarterback that can carry a team on his back? Has Saquon Barkley saved the running back position? Is Saquon Barkley going to be considered one of the elite running backs of our time? Or is he kind of, you know, a great year with a good team and then it's going to be the end of it? This, for me, is Nick Sirianni coaching for his future with the Eagles.
Oh, he's coming back either way. If they lose this game by 30, he's
back. I'm not saying next year, but there were so many questions about Sirianni. A Super Bowl cements it. A loss, yeah,
but
there's
but
still questions
the
about his future.
Part. Doug Peterson won their first ever championship. Then after that, He made the playoffs twice and then had one bad year, and he was out. So, yeah, I could sit here and say, oh, Nick Sirianni wins a Super Bowl. He's a coach for the next decade of the Eagles. Doug Peterson's already had another job and been fired from that job. But the problem was Doug eventually had some pushback, and we know Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie like a controlling coach. But you were there last night. We both looked at each other, and we're like, we could get out of here. Let me ask a few questions, and we could get out of here real quick, because there just wasn't buzz compared to other opening nights, because there's not a lot of storylines here that generate, in my opinion, nationally. Remember, we are a national show.
Yeah, and like I said, the stories that do resonate are the same stories that we've talked about for the past two, 3 years.
And they're still not sexy. Like, there's nothing sexy.
Well, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift is sexy, but we've had a year and a half to talk about it.
Yeah.
Mahomes as the GOAT or his legacy, it's sexy, but we've been talking about it for 2 or 3 years. And it's early, and Brady is the rings. You're right, there's not... There are sexy storylines, but they're old sexy storylines. There's not a lot of new, fresh things. That's why I think for me the Eagles are the most
interesting. We need a midlife crisis with this Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's what I think it is. We need someone to go buy a Ferrari.
Where is that Lamborghini? Vroom, vroom.
All righty, we'll take a timeout. When we come on back, two members of the New York Giants are going to join us. Kayvon Thibodeau and Bobby Okereke will join us next. Zach Gelb here with you on Radio Row for Super Bowl 59 live in New Orleans. We're coming on back after these short messages. Alrighty, we continue inside the New Orleans Convention Center. Zach Gelb here with you on Radio Row. You can't have football without wings. You can't have wings without Bounty. And now joining us from the New York Football Giants, of course, Kayvon Thibodeau and then Bobby Okereke. Gentlemen, you guys brought wings here, and I think that's blue cheese, right? There's no ranch. Is that accurate?
No, one's ranch, one's blue cheese. Oh. Gotta have options.
Yep.
Alrighty. Now, this is a big character flaw of mine, and this will either make the interview or break the interview, and we'll kick you off the set. Bobby, we know each other for a while. You've come in studio with us a few times in New York City. You're ranch or blue cheese guy?
Ranch.
Why? What's wrong with you?
Blue cheese. I feel like your palate's got to be off if you like blue cheese. It's tangy.
That's terrible. Kayvon, are you a ranch or blue cheese guy?
I'm a no sauce guy. I don't dip.
Ooh.
Mm. So, yeah, not a dipper.
So if the wing...
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
DSW's semi-annual sale starts now. Twice a year, tons of deals, going fast. It's all or nothing. A designer shoe warehouse will give you something to brag about. Like 40% off clearance in all DSW stores or an extra 10% off clearance at DSW.com. Don't sleep on these savings. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. DSW, let us surprise you.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Is a good wing, you don't need to dip anything in it,
exactly.
Is what you're saying.
There okay. You go.
So let's start off with the Giants. Bobby, obviously, the year didn't go how you guys expected it to go. When you take a look back at this season, what direction are the Giants moving in?
The Giants are moving up and forward. We brought some great guys in free agency last year. 2 years ago. We have a good core. We got some good guys coming up, like Kayvon, Micah McFadden in year four, who are homegrown talent here. So we're really not missing much. Once we figure out our quarterback situation, get our offense rolling, get our defense back on track, we'll be in a very exciting football team.
I'll tell you, Kayvon, too, and I'm sure you guys were upset with some of the noise that was being said about you guys throughout the season. And obviously, you guys know you got to win more football games. But the whole Dez Bryant thing, man, that was a little spicy on social media.
Yeah. Fuck the Cowboys.
So it was just, all right. Yeah.
Much love to Dez. You know, he's a media connoisseur. Mm-hmm. And me, I just like to roast people. So for me, when off season comes and I just got a little more free time, you know, why not? Why not give the fans something to see?
Is the beef over, though, with Dez? There are a lot of tweets there on that.
Nah, the beef is never over. Okay. As long as he represents the Cowboys, the beef will never be over.
Charity boxing match coming soon.
Oh, yeah. That would be a good idea.
Yeah. Nah, it's no personal beef, but all just Cowboy Giants beef. Like, there's just no room for a Cowboy.
Is that the team you hate the most?
Nah, I hate the Eagles more than – nah. I mean, honestly, I hate them all equal. They can all burn.
Okay.
I hate them all equal.
So you guys obviously have gone up against the Eagles twice a year. When you look at Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, Bobby Okereke, it's funny to me. Everyone criticizes him, but all this guy does is win. What's your view of Jalen Hurts as a quarterback?
Yeah, he's a winner. You said it. All he does is win. I mean, NFL is a passing league, so, you know, people want to turn on the TV and see a guy throwing for 3,000, 4,000 yards every week. But he's a guy who does whatever it takes to win. First and foremost, he leads that offense to perfection. He runs when he needs to, and he's efficient. He's a point guard. He gets the ball in his playmaker's hands and finds a way to win.
Was it tough, Bobby, seeing Saquon on the other side this year?
Yeah, it was bittersweet. For me to come in as a free agent 2 years ago and to see the type of leader he is, to see the impact he can have in a locker room and on the field, sad to see him go as a teammate, but excited for him, excited for the success that he's had, and excited for the opportunity to play against him. You know, competition breeds excellence, and iron sharpens iron. So knowing that he's in the division and I get to play him twice a year, I mean, it's what you ask for.
Bobby Okereke, Kayvon Thibodeau from the Giants here with us on Radio Row. How about yourself, Kayvon, with the whole Saquon Barkley dynamic this year and how much it's been played out?
Nah, yeah, much respect to Saquon. He's a good friend of mine. You know, for me, I'm a fan of greatness. And what he's been doing this year is the epitome of greatness. And me and Bobby talked about it. If he goes and gets Super Bowl MVP, league MVP, you know, the only thing that I'm sad for him about is he didn't go for that rushing title. And I understand it. You got to go for the big dance. So I'm happy for him. If the Eagles and the Chiefs could lose, I'd be happy for that. But sincerely, you know, I'm proud of him, man. I'm inspired by him. He's been doing it at a high level, and he deserves it.
So I got to get to the quarterback, right? Bobby, you said it. You guys need a quarterback. Third overall pick, if Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders are there, do you have a preference, one or the other?
No preference, one or the other. You know, I've got great trust in the front office and our head coach on the direction that they're going to go and the people they're going to pick. You know, with a third pick, you know, I think Travis Hunter looks like a beautiful option. But like I said, those guys you know, they have all the expertise that we need to, you know, get this team in the right direction.
So just to follow up on that, Travis Hunter, when he plays in the NFL, how do you think he should be used? Because we've seen him play both ways at such a crazy level that we've never seen before.
Yeah. I mean, he'll settle in as a starting corner, but he'll be a guy who plays on offense because he's too talented not to.
All right. Go ahead.
My personal opinion is he hasn't been hit enough to see what it feels like to play 70 snaps in an NFL game, and no knock to his athleticism, yeah, skill, his vigor, his heart, his passion. I get that. But it's like, after you play 70 snaps of defense in an NFL, what is he saying? He's going to play 100 snaps in a game? Like 140 snaps? That's crazy.
He might play 90. He might play every play on defense, and then he'll play 10 plays a game.
Bro,
on
90
offense.
Plays? Bobby, have you played 90 plays in an NFL game?
Yeah.
How many?
I mean, average game is what, 60, 70?
That's what I'm saying.
The games that go to overtime, 90?
No, I agree, but I'm saying a 90-er is a crazy amount. Like, how do you feel after a 90er with 15 tackles, 10 TF, however many TF? That's crazy.
So the last thing I want to ask you, because I remember your build up to the draft. I thought what people said about you and they questioned your motor and your competitive level was just so stupid. And I remember saying it to you a few years ago when you joined us on the show. So for guys like Shador and Travis Hunter, them being associated with Colorado and Deion, that hype game is going to go to a different level, and there's going to be so many things said about them that probably aren't true. What advice would you give to them?
Man, they don't need my advice. Because they started getting paid. Now, granted, I was getting paid too at the time, not as much as they're getting now, but there's no more amateur sport. You know, I think Deion said it, like, at one point we used to leave college sports alone because they were amateurs, but now media are going after them just as much as they're going after NFL players. So I think they have handled it well. I think they're doing a great job. I think only thing I would say, you know, is the media isn't missing what they don't know. And I think as a young person, you feel sometimes that if they don't know, then you're missing out. But it's like, no, you can always wait on the podcast. You can always wait on the conversation, on the interview. Like, it's all on your terms. So I would just say don't feel rushed to do everything now. You know, you can plan it out. And I would always say, you know, the great books are written from the end to the beginning, right? Because if you know where you're going, you can figure everything else out on the journey.
So where are you going 3 years in?
Hopefully to the Super Bowl next year.
Gotcha. All righty. Once again, you can't have football without wings. You can't have wings without Bounty. Now I got to try one since I disagree with Bobby. Ranch is terrible. Do we know which one's blue cheese?
Don't try one right now.
Not right now?
These have been hanging out with us. These have been hanging out with us all day.
I could have some wings here. Let's go. Let's go a little blue cheese. They're not that cold. Come on. Right. I do leftovers all the time.
All right. What was that?
That's pretty good.
What was it?
Blue cheese, ranch?
That's blue cheese. Definitely not ranch.
Yeah.
If I had ranch, I'd project Kyle
I don't want to say this, but like blue cheese.
It's a good wing. How long have you guys been out here for?
We've been out here for
2 hours.
You couldn't tell. Now, probably all these disgusting radio hosts are coughing all over these things, and I'm going to get sick, but these are great wings.
But I'm going to be honest. Wings kind of – I mean, blue cheese kind of smells like feet, no?
I don't like feet, but I like blue cheese.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it gives that fungus.
It's got a little zest to it.
Yeah, you know like fungi.
I have to stop this interview because I can't take this blue cheese. Sort of
it's fermented.
So get the heck out of here.
Appreciate you guys, man. Wait. Last thing. You got a little something in your mouth.
Mm. Here, Use
a bounty.
Have some bounty.
The quicker picker upper. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
And that was from your wingman himself.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Coming on back on Radio Row after these short messages. Back on Radio Row, still to come. We were just joined by Kayvon Thibodeau and Bobby Okereke. We'll get to more on that in just a second. Tom Pelissero is going to stop by from the NFL Network 20 minutes from now. Maybe we'll touch on the Cooper Kupp and Myles Garrett stuff. Dominique Easley will join us at 5 p.m. Eastern. And then Paige Baranek is going to stop by at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time as well. But without further ado, and I'm not talking about Freddie Adu, it's time to get to a little overreaction, proper reaction.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
So we know how to kill a bit, obviously, but that doesn't mean that we'll ever stop doing the bit. Because blue cheese and ranch is such a character issue for me. I think less of Bobby Okereke, who's a friend since he's a ranch guy. And I wasn't thrilled with Kayvon Thibodeau, who basically gave us a no answer. But Stu, here's my question for you right out of the gate in a little overreaction, proper reaction Tuesday.
Okay.
Kayvon Thibodeau cautioned me and basically instructed me not to eat the wings because they've been doing this tour for a while. And I guess they're walking down from set to set. The wings look fine to me. But overreaction or proper reaction, that was a bad call that I ate those wings, even though Kayvon Thibodeau told me not to do so.
I think it's an overreaction. I think you're fine if it was like an overnight situation or like, you know, 12 hours, something like that, then I'd be more concerned, but I think you'll be okay.
That wing tasted as if it was out for 30 minutes. So
that's fine.
It wasn't that cold. He made it seem as if it was out for 5 hours. Now,
when you got the bank account of Kayvon Thibodeau and you go to all these high fancy schmancy places, you know, maybe that's why he said, hey, my guy, don't eat those wings. All righty, what do you got cooking for me today, Stu?
All right, so the Titans, they, of course, have the first overall pick in April's draft. And while many expect them to take a quarterback, the new front office has hinted that they may go in another direction. Well, yesterday, former Falcons GM Thomas Dimitroff joined us here on Radio Row and gave us his thoughts on what he would do if he were the Titans GM.
I would have scrutinized and analyzed those quarterbacks up and down like I would do all the time. But I would, in my back of my mind, and my background is not trading back a whole bunch, right? My background is Trader Thomas moving forward. That said, this is the one time I was just kind of salivating at the thought of, hey, being in that spot to be able to move back and create this, you know, this great gathering of talent, and take Will Levis one more year and really see where he is, help him grow.
All right, so overreaction or proper reaction, the Titans should follow Dimitroff's advice and trade the first overall pick.
So there's so many possibilities there because the cupboard is so bare for the Tennessee Titans. So if you're passing on a quarterback, that's one thing with Mike Borgonzi now as their general manager, which may be my favorite name in the NFL right now, Borgonzi. But when you look at Borgonzi, if you're passing up on a quarterback, all right, then you should probably take advantage, would be my thought, of a team looking to rush up to go get a quarterback and see if you could get a bunch of picks. But I also look at someone like Travis Hunter, and I look at Abdul Carter, and I think Abdul Carter's the best player in the draft. And then after that, it is Travis Hunter. But those are guys that get that generational talent tag. So I don't think there's a wrong answer here, but you're making me give an answer. So Tennessee should follow Dimitroff's advice and trade the pick. Yeah, I'm going to say that's a proper reaction because I think they're the team that's not taking a quarterback. I think Cleveland's taking a quarterback. I don't think Tennessee is now. Now, that could change 3,000 times, and I think I've vacillated on that at least one or two times already. But right now, I would say trading the pick is okay because if you're not taking a quarterback at one, sure, you would like Abdul Carter or you would like Travis Hunter Jr., but you could really then take advantage of setting yourself up in what is now the official rebuild for Tennessee. And the coach isn't safe, but the new GM coming on in, that restarts the three-year clock. So I'm okay with trading the pick. So I'll go proper reaction and agree with Trader Thomas there, Thomas Dimitroff.
All right. Yesterday at opening night, Jameis Winston unveiled his new role as a Fox analyst and became the story of the night with his personality and fun questions.
We walked in with him.
Oh, did you? Wow.
We walked into the Superdome last night. He's coming on the show Friday, I believe, Jameis Winston. And you know what?
Can't wait.
We talked about how pathetic the storylines are for the Super Bowl. So far, the best storyline from the Super Bowl has been the media career of Jameis Winston through 2 days.
Yeah, he had a lot of good questions to Eagles and Chiefs players. Perhaps the best one came when he asked Saquon Barkley which quarterback needy teams should sign him this offseason.
In this free agency, man, I'm a free agent. I really don't got no job. Who should sign me in free agency?
I think New York need a quarterback right now.
New York, who?
John.
Okay, brother, yeah, thank you. I'll give him a call. Yeah.
All right.
You know what makes Jameis awesome? There's an innocence to him where he's funny, and sometimes people, when they're funny, they know they're funny, but it doesn't seem as if he's trying to be funny. He's just naturally funny, Stu.
He is. No, he has a great personality. He's one of my favorites. So what do you think here? Overreaction or proper reaction? The Giants should sign Jameis Winston even if they do draft a quarterback with the third pick.
In New York. Yeah. Proper reaction. Number one, it would be great to have Jameis in New York. It'd be awesome to hear his interactions with the media. But that's a guy that, you know, I thought he was stupid for doing this, but he was defending Deshaun Watson. So if you would defend Deshaun Watson, there was nothing really to defend Deshaun Watson about. I don't think that he would be a malcontent in the locker room or be one of these quarterbacks that come in is like, oh, I have to start, and then doesn't deal well with when you eventually get benched for the youngster. So I'm fine with the veteran presence of Jameis Winston having to work with either Shador Sanders or Cam Ward if the Giants are, in fact, taking a quarterback. So that's a proper reaction to me. More Jameis, the better, too.
Definitely. So Kirk Cousins' time in Atlanta seems to be at an end after the team benched him for eighth overall pick. Michael Penix Jr. Today, Cousins joined the NFL Network and explained his subpar performances that led him to being benched.
I was playing well, doing a lot of good things, even if the right ankle wasn't perfect. You know, nobody's perfect in this league. We're never feeling 100%. So it didn't really affect me too much. But then against the Saints, got hit pretty good in my right shoulder and elbow. And from there, kind of dealing with that, you know, it was something I was working through and just never really could get it to where I wanted it.
So overreaction or proper reaction, you believe that Cousins, when he says that he wasn't healthy and that he can still be an effective starter in the NFL next year?
Well, he wasn't healthy last year. Even when he was playing, he clearly did not look 100%. So I take a look at Kirk Cousins. Do I think he's great? No, I don't. Do I think he could be serviceable somewhere else? Yes. Does he need to be in Atlanta next year? Absolutely not. There's going to be a market for Kirk Cousins. You know who Kirk Cousins is going to be this year? Kirk Cousins is going to be this upcoming year what Russell Wilson was last year. Maybe just a smidge better. Where it's, oh, he's not great. He's not a franchise quarterback. But since he just got such a big deal that didn't work out, as long as he gets released, then he could go take a veteran minimum deal because of the $100 million or the $180, I think it was, if memory serves me right, that was guaranteed. And Kirk Cousins goes and he lands somewhere on the cheap, and he could be serviceable, but I don't think at the end of the year anyone's saying, oh, I have to have Kirk Cousins. But the way you worded it, you believe Cousins that he wasn't healthy and that he could still be an effective start in the NFL next year? Yeah, I think that he could be serviceable. So proper reaction.
All right, so the Rams, they informed Cooper Kupp that they were going to shop him around in trades this offseason. His teammate with the Rams, Puka Nacua, responded tweeting, quote, so I thought it was just NBA trade season, end quote. Now the odds for Kupp's next team have come out with the Chargers first at 3-1, followed by the Bills at 4-1, the Steelers at 5-1, and the Broncos at 6-1. So overreaction or proper reaction, Cooper Kupp would be the number one receiver on each of those four teams?
Ooh, great question. So for the Chargers, Ladd McConkey or Cooper Kupp? Very similar. I would say I give the slight edge to Ladd McConkey just because there's health issues with Cooper Kupp. The Bills, Amari Cooper, Cooper Kupp would be the number one wide receiver. And the Steelers, that would be a fun 1-2 punch. George Pickens and Cooper Kupp, but Pickens would be perceived to be the number one. Kupp is really good. We saw what he did 3-4 years ago, but since then, Cooper Kupp has only played in 33 games in the last three seasons. So right now, Cooper Kupp, can he be a number one on some teams? Yes. Will he show vintage Cooper Kupp 4 or 5 games in a season? Yes. But I think he's in that in-betweener stage. You know, I said this, I kind of came up with this. He's an in-betweener when talking about Juju Smith-Schuster years ago when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Some days he looks like a one, other days he looks like a two, so you put him at a 1.5. He's in that in-between stage of being a 1.5. So Kupp would be the number one wide receiver on each of these four teams that we mentioned. The Broncos were the other one. I think Kupp would be the number one wide receiver there. So it's split. So I'm going to go overreaction. He won't be the number one wide receiver on all four of those teams.
All right, last one here. The Eagles are set to play in the Super Bowl in just a few days. Yeah, apparently so. And owner Jeffrey Lurie is already getting the fans into a bit of a frenzy. At opening night last night, Lurie told the media that he was open to building a dome for the Eagles' next stadium, but not for weather reasons.
I don't have a strong opinion about it because you're torn. I love outdoor football. I love it, you know. I love the cold games. I like the hot games. I like the snow games. On the other hand, you know, does Philadelphia deserve to host the Super Bowl, NCAA Final Four? Lots of great events. It's an incredible sports city. Does it deserve that? Yes. So you got to balance all those things.
All right, so overreaction or proper reaction, you're okay with teams building domes so they can bring major events like the Final Four and Super Bowl to the stadium?
Can we say retractable roof?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, let's go retractable roof. But what I'm advocating for, I know will not be held even with what I'm about to say. If you put a retractable roof so I could still get a cold weather Eagles playoff game, I'm good. But if you want the retractable roof there to just get the Final Fours and all those other events, Super Bowls, I'm fine with closing it for that. But when it comes to, okay, that roof always has to be closed for any bad weather, that I would not be okay with. I think that there are a lot of weak teams in the NFL, and there's some cold cities that I want to see those teams still play outdoors. But if you want to suck up and get, oh, you know, a Final Four, oh, a Super Bowl there, so you have to put a roof on your building, I'm okay with that. So you're okay with teams building domes so they could bring major events like the Final Four and Super Bowls to their stadium? Yes, that will be a proper reaction. We'll take a break. Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network will join us next. Zach Gelb here with you live in New Orleans, Super Bowl 59. Coming on back from Radio Row with more after these short messages.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.